We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Mully and Hall. Live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
The senior leaders, including then-president John McDonough, were informed of alleged sexual harassment of a player by a coach, including efforts by the coach to engage in unwelcome sexual activity with that player. Several witnesses recalled and later told others about a discussion that then ensued during the meeting regarding whether the time was right to address the allegations against Aldridge in light of the ongoing playoffs. One witness recalled that during the meeting, Mr. McDonough and Coach Quenneville made comments about the challenge of getting to the Stanley Cup Finals and a desire to focus on the team and the playoffs. What is clear is that after being informed of Aldridge's alleged sexual harassment and misconduct with a player, no action was taken for 3 weeks.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Reed Schar. He, of course, the former assistant U.S. attorney who led the investigation for Jenner and Block. And we read the report, came out yesterday, and we know that Stan Bowman allowed to resign at that point. He resigned from U.S. hockey as well. And we are delighted to welcome in Rick Westhead, a fine journalist who has done a ton on this story. Author, he works with the Sports Network, CTV in Canada, and we've talked to him before, and we are delighted to welcome him and congratulate him on his hard work, which has been a blueprint for everyone. Rick, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Pretty big day yesterday.
I saw Daniel Carcillo, among others, contacting you on Twitter to thank you for your work. You did a remarkable job with this, and obviously here in Chicago, we look at this story and we wonder how to think about the Blackhawks, quite frankly, because, you know, and I we've argued a little bit about it this morning, because I'm not sure that it was about winning the Stanley Cup. I suspect in my heart that it was about preserving the positive brand, if you will, of the way this team was looked at from kind of a corporate perspective, which is a terrible accusation to make. But either way, a blind eye was turned to a criminal case.
Yeah. Well, and if you're right, that didn't work out very well, did it?
Well, it did initially, right? It did for a decade. And then the whole thing blew up. So none of those people involved are with the Blackhawks anymore, but certainly there is a tarnish to the legacy.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I didn't know what to expect yesterday. The news that the report was going to be disclosed and that there was going to be a briefing by Reed Schar, the lawyer at Jenner and Block, who led this investigation. I was skeptical. This was an investigation that was commissioned by the Blackhawks, and others like the Athletic website have pointed out some of the conflicts that could be present there because of that connection to the team. And I've done a lot of reporting, as you point out, over the last months about how this has been handled. I think yesterday the Wirtzes did a good job with this. They followed through on the promise that they made that promise might have been long overdue back in the summer, to allow Reed Schar to go wherever the facts took him. And they could have issued a redacted statement or a summer executive summary or whatever yesterday. But I think putting it out in the complete form was the right thing to do. And, you know, the dust still hasn't settled. There's still accountability that's going to be needed from those, including Joel Quenneville and Don Fehr. I've got more questions for Kevin Cheveldayoff, who's now the general manager in Winnipeg with the Jets, about this. But at the very least, and remember, guys, after in the spring when this case was filed, the Blackhawks' first response, again, they had not wanted to talk about compensation when Susan Loggins, the attorney for John Doe 1 and 2, came to the team. They didn't want to talk about compensation at all. So the lawsuit gets filed, and the first thing the Blackhawks do in response is to say, we've already investigated this. We found that these complaints, these allegations, have no merit, so go pound sand. So the team has come a long way since then, and like I said, it was good to see some transparency yesterday.
Rick, tremendous reporting from the beginning of this process through yesterday, and it continues. I'm just curious, you tweeted out John Doe's response and reaction to what happened yesterday. Did you speak to him directly, or was that via text or email? And how would you characterize his response?
Well, that was a response I asked his lawyer to ask him how he was feeling. And that was the response that I got through her. I expect that in coming days, we're going to hear more from John Doe 1 and maybe John Doe 2 as well. You know, for people who haven't been following closely, John Doe 2 is the former high school player in Michigan. And after Brad Aldrich was let go by the Blackhawks quietly in the summer of 2010, he went on to work at Miami University in Ohio. And then he wound up coaching a high school team in Michigan. And when he was there, he sexually abused a player who was at the time 16. And I think all the people involved in this, the families, are trying to reconcile, you know, how public to be, and, you know, what to do with this new information that's all come out yesterday. And I think it's going to take a little bit of time for them to process this.
You know, we look at this case and we see the NHL fine the Blackhawks. You mentioned they're going to meet with the Winnipeg GM. They're going to meet with with Joel Quenneville. I don't know how we in Chicago can feel other than kind of embarrassed by the whole thing. It just seems like there's a lot of anger for people that have been through these sorts of things, and everyone else is just kind of like, what were they thinking? What, you know, was it a different era? What, I mean, I don't know how a simple phone call to the authorities was not made. I honestly don't know how. And I think we see the church scandal, and we've talked about the connections, and there's been obviously different scandals in junior hockey, whatever. How was this not dealt with properly? It just doesn't make, and I don't think it would have harmed the Blackhawks. I don't think it would have prevented them from winning a Stanley Cup or three. I just think it doesn't make a ton of sense now. I don't know what was going through their heads then.
Yeah, they call this passing the trash, right? This is an expression that's often used with abusive teachers or priests, and where just get them out of the parish or get them out of the school and make them someone else's problem. And that's what happened here. I think, you know, and to your point, I think there is a lot of people who need to reflect on this, and they should be embarrassed. I remember, you know, over the course of the summer, trying to ask some of the dozens of corporate sponsors the Chicago Blackhawks have about whether they take a position on this and whether they wanted the team to do more. This is back in the days before the Blackhawks were pressured to, start this investigation through Jenner and Block. Not a single sponsor of the Blackhawks, whether it was Anheuser-Busch or CIBC, run down the list. Not one would say, you know, we believe that the companies that we have partnerships with should hold themselves to this standard, whatever that might be. Instead, it was just more silence. And, you know, what do we take away from that?
Rick, I was disappointed in Stan Bowman's statement. I know he was allowed to resign. Basically, they did everything in sending him off, it sounded like, but give him a gold watch. I mean, they thanked him, and his statement didn't have an apology included. And I wondered if you think, could this be part of a legal strategy in that future litigation? They want to be able to align themselves with Stan Bowman. They may need him and his testimony and his information. And could that have factored into why the tone of his dismissal or resignation was what it was?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when I see statements from people, whether it's Stan Bowman or Shovel Day Off or whoever it is connected with this, I think we need to acknowledge that there's a good chance that the people whose name is next to the statement are not really those who are writing these words. You know, of course, you're going to have legal advice on this, and the lawyers that these people have are going to direct them on how to respond to something like this. I would have loved to have seen a response from Stan Bowman yesterday that said, you know, we made a mistake. We apologize. We know that this wound up hurting multiple people and families and changing their lives forever. And we're going to try to do better if we get another chance down the road. And, you know, keeping it simple, but I'm with you. I saw that statement and, you know, saying, well, I was a first year general manager. I'm not sure what that means. Does that mean that when you're a 38-year-old, you don't know to do the right thing in a case like this? You know, and even if in the moment during the playoffs of 2010 in May, when this all kind of came to the team's attention, you don't do anything then, okay. You wait for a couple weeks. You don't separate Aldridge from the team. You allow him to be around the players that he's abused. And then you allow him to your parade and give him a ring and set up a day for him to have a day with the Stanley Cup. And then that fall, you find out that he's now working with the U.S. team, the national team, a junior team, and you still don't say anything? How is that? I just don't understand what's going through someone's mind when they make the conscious decision to keep quiet. Again, passing the trash is, I think, a really appropriate description in this case.
You know, you mentioned Don Fehr, the Players Association. So they were made aware of what had happened, and I think they were going to offer counseling, but I don't know that they ever did. But it didn't seem like even the Players Association, it doesn't seem like anyone came out of this looking other than, as we say, passing the trash.
No, the according to the report, you know, another player on that team referred to as Black Ace One in Reed Schar's report, says that that during the playoffs, when the Blackhawks were in San Jose, that Aldridge invited him to his hotel room, invited this other player to his hotel room, arranged for a masseuse to perform a sexual act on the player. And then Aldridge followed that up by sending him pornography in text messages and making references to the kind of relationship that he could have with the player. A confidant of that player went to Don Fehr and actually emailed. So there is documentary evidence of this having happened, and wrote in the email that the Black Ace One had seen a therapist now through the NHLPA, and the confidant said, you know, could we have a follow-up to talk about this? You know, as well, a confidant or someone close to, it's tough to follow this because some of these names are still confidential, but someone close to John Doe One also says that he went to Don Fehr. Don Fehr, when he was interviewed by these investigators, said that he didn't remember having that conversation. So, you know, the email is what it is. I mean, it's documentary evidence, and it shows that people at the PA were made aware of this at the time, and like so many others in this, did nothing.
As you know, when you have something like this happen, it can have an effect, a ripple effect throughout the league. You have done a ton of reporting on this, and this is pervasive in the hockey culture. Do you expect this to have impact? I don't know how it would manifest itself, but maybe teams are more diligent in kind of looking at the way that they're structured. Maybe they're more responsive to complaints that they hear or rumors that they hear about. Do you expect there to be an impact beyond Chicago about what happened yesterday?
Tough to say. I think it's still too early to say. Back in the late 1990s, for people who follow hockey, Like our country in Canada was completely focused on the case of Sheldon Kennedy, who at the time was a pro hockey player who came forward and said that when he was playing junior hockey, he was sexually abused by Graham James, his coach. And there were people at the time who were skeptical of him, of Sheldon, and said, oh, how could that be? You're a professional athlete. Look at you. Look at how big and strong you are. And look at Graham James, who is not, you know. And at the time, after Graham James was convicted of abusing Sheldon and other players, this promise was made. Never again. We're going to fix the system so it doesn't happen again. And we're going to keep all these athletes safe. Well, that promise was forgotten and broken in pretty quick fashion, I think. So, you know, where do we go from here? I don't know. You know, we've seen leagues like the NHL make promises before, whether it's about making their game more diverse and, you know, hockey is for everyone is the tagline that the NHL uses. But I like to think of the phrase deeds versus words. And I think that's what matters. It doesn't really matter to me what the NHL says now, because, you know, the proof is going to be in what they do. What they did yesterday was fine the Chicago Blackhawks $2 million. Well, 11 years ago, when the New Jersey Devils contravened the NHL salary cap by signing a Russian player named Kovalchuk to a contract, the NHL's punishment for that was a $3 million fine and a loss of draft picks. So you break the salary cap rules, you're going to pay $3 million in 2010. And 11 years later, if you cover up sexual abuse, you're going to be given a $2 million fine. You guys explain how that makes sense to you. How does that make sense?
It doesn't make an ounce of sense. Rick, thank you so much. Really appreciate everything you've done on this story and being available. Keep in touch. Thanks.
Yeah, my pleasure,
guys.
Great job,
Rick.
Appreciate the conversation. Thank you.
That is Rick Westhead.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.